Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much for the opportunity once again to return to your word and do some studying. Help us now as we continue to study the encouraging words that you have recorded. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word encouragement, we'll turn to Romans chapter 10. Here we can see some awesome words of encouragement concerning how salvation has come to everyone that will receive it, the whosoever, as it says. Let's get right into it here in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. He starts out here addressing the children of Israel specifically because they had wanted or were accustomed to living under the law and trying to fulfill the law rather than receiving and understanding that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law and has made righteousness available to us by trusting in Him as our Lord and Savior. As it continues, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which is preached. It isn't that you have to go through the sacrificial process over and over. That's what he's speaking of. The Old Testament, you had those high priests and the rituals of going and getting the sacrificial animals and taking them and sacrificing them over and over and over. Well, Jesus Christ's work is a finished work, only having to be done once, not over and over and over. And now we are under a dispensation of time and of grace, and when we have the faith and the finished work of Jesus Christ, by grace, He saves us. We merely need to confess that we are sinners and come to Him and receive that free gift, as He gets into the details here. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is so simple that people don't believe it. The Old Testament ways were so complex and so rigorous. When something simple come along, they were thinking, well, that can't be. It can't be true. That all we have to do is confess and receive the free gift as long as we trust and believe in Jesus Christ, and believing by living in Jesus Christ and Him and us. That was too simple of a process for them to really grasp and understand and accept. Read that again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now this confession is not merely, Lord, I am a sinner, please forgive me. This confession is a profession as well, to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord meaning ultimate authority. As it continues in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Now this is talking about how you truly believe in Jesus Christ, you're not ashamed to say that you believe in Jesus Christ and to confess and profess that, proclaim that to everyone and anyone. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. This is where he's emphasizing the whosoever. And it's going to all mankind, not just to the children of Israel, but to the Gentiles as well. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the focus of the encouraging words that we find in these verses, is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is awesome. And that is truly by grace, and it is beyond what we could ever earn or deserve through following the law. All right, now turn over to Romans chapter 15. Just one verse here pertaining to the joy that is available when you become a born-again Christian. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13 reads, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that is where it's encouraging. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost that you can have the joyfulness and the peace that is available to you. The peace of mind, the peace of heart, the peace of knowing that you have a place in heaven for eternity, a place with the Lord and brand new earth for eternity. So much that can bring you joy. And it comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not by our own power or by the power of anyone else out there. It isn't that someone else is going to bring us joyfulness and peace. No, Jesus Christ makes that available to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. All right, now if you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. This is a very interesting verse here that gives us some glimpse into the results of the work that we do. When we labor for the Lord, it's not a required labor, it's an opportunity to labor. And when we do that, we can build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and all of that's going to be looked at. Some of it will be just burned up because it was worthless. We did it for our own recognition. And other things that we've done right, and we did that. That's going to be permanent. We're going to receive a reward for that. So let's look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, Paul is addressing a group of people in Corinth who have had this issue of trying to say that their belief system was more accurate, or who they're following or who they're listening to or is better than someone else, and bickering back and forth and strife and envying, divisions were coming about because of that. And it's sad to say that still goes on today. That's why the Christian church is divided up in so many so-called denominations, is because of this reason right here that Paul gets into. As it continues in verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye yet carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And that is a very encouraging statement there. The increase comes from God. He allows us to be a part of His work, But the bounty, the profit, the benefit is a result of God's increase, not ours. He's the one that makes it work. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So the reason this is encouraging is because it lets us know that when we're out there doing the work, as long as we are doing the work properly, that the Lord will use that work and he will increase it as he sees fit. The results, the productivity, the fruits of that labor, by his power, his might. Therefore, we cannot take the credit for what is achieved. But that is so hard for people to relinquish that credit when they do a work and then they see the fruits of it and then they want to brag about what they've achieved. That's wrong, totally wrong. But also, it's encouraging to know that if you're out there doing the work and you're doing the work right and it does not show an increase that you are witnessing to, you don't have to take the blame, as you may think, because there is no fruits of that labor. Because God's the one that's in charge of the increase. He may make that increase later without you witnessing it. So we can then be detached from the fruits of those labors as being our responsibility. The fruits that your labor produces and is under the power of God, not under us. Then we can go out and freely preach and teach and do what we're supposed to do and not be hung up on the bounty that results from it, the fruits that result from it. Because God's the one that's in control of that. So you can relax and just keep doing the work that you know the Lord has expected you to do. As long as you are doing it right, that's what counts. Now, this doesn't excuse you from doing a bad work, because you do a bad work, you do a work wrong, then it's that wood, hay, and stubble we're going to be reading about. But let's continue, you'll see. Verse 7 again. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The Lord is keeping score. That's what counts. For we are laborers together with God. Note, with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Note, it isn't that we are the laborers for God. No, it's we are the laborers with God. He is right there with us, and that is very encouraging. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Important words to finish there is, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The kind of work that you do in the Christian realm is very important. It must be the proper work for the proper reason. It shouldn't be so that you can gain rewards or credit or profit. It should be to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to profit the kingdom. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's starting it out now. It's like, okay, so you got to start with the right foundation. Any builder out there knows that in order to build a proper building, you have to start with a good foundation. And we know the good foundation is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's what we build upon. Jesus Christ. If he's not there, then the building is worthless. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, which foundation? The foundation of Jesus Christ. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And that is very encouraging. But now let's look at these materials that he's mentioned here. Gold, silver, precious stones, they will all endure the fire. But the wood, hay, and the stubble will be burned up. Those were the works that were worthless. They were done for the wrong reasons or done incorrectly. Therefore, they get burned up. And if you've done the good ones, which is gold, silver, and precious stones, they will be tried by fire and be shown to be good works that have withstood the test of fire. And you'll receive a reward for that. But once again, I emphasize, don't let receiving the rewards be your goal to work for the Lord, because then it doesn't become gold, silver, and precious stones. It becomes wood, hay, and stubble. You had the wrong motivation. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And that is very, very encouraging, because we know of people, and maybe even ourselves at times, that have gotten off track and have done some work that was pretty much worthless. It was done for our own recognition or done for our own profit or our own benefit somewhere or another instead of really to be beneficial to the kingdom, and that'll be burned up. But that doesn't mean that you wind up going to hell because you've done a selfish work. Or a worthless work, no. That'll be burned up, and that's the loss that you're going to suffer is the lack of the rewards that you could have had. But you're going to be saved still. You're still part of the family. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And that is very encouraging. We are the temple of God. He actually comes into us and takes up abode in us, living right there within us. And that is awesome. And in that, we need to know and understand that everywhere we go, everything that we do, we're taking the Lord right there with us. And we're not supposed to defile the dwelling place of God, as he puts it here. If any man shall defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, we got to understand, this message is going to the Christians. This is a warning to those who may fall victim of their own selfish desires to get away from serving the Lord and serving themselves and defiling the temple of God. The Lord might take them out of here completely, is what he's talking about here when he destroys the temple. He's destroying your body. He's let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain or worthless. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. And that's awesome there, to know that we have so much available to us to work with and to apply. Everything that is around us belongs to us because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence, therefore we have ownership in everything as well. Therefore, let's use everything around us to bring benefit to the kingdom in the right manner and please the Lord. All right, now let's look at some encouraging words concerning the gifts that the Lord gives us. In addition to salvation itself, when the Holy Ghost comes into us, He provides us with other gifts. And we can utilize those gifts to produce the fruit that He allows us to produce as well. And we can see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. By the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. And this is very encouraging, because we can understand and know that everyone is not going to have all the same gifts. He gives us what we need to do the task that He has ordained for us to achieve. There are some false teachers out there that believe that the only evidence of having the Holy Ghost is that you speak in tongues. And note it says, to another divers kinds of tongues. Not to all divers kinds of tongues, but to another. Individuals for a particular purpose have been given the opportunity and ability to speak other languages in order to spread the gospel in another language. And that's what it was originally set up and designed for, and that's what it continues to be used for, properly used for. The ability for an individual to be able to speak multiple languages is a gift from God. And that can be utilized to spread the gospel in other languages. That's what it's truly for. Not to try to impress with someone that you are so holy and righteous because you can spew out some jibber-jabbers that nobody knows any idea what you're saying. That's a show. That's just to promote themselves as being some holy, righteous individual that has the ability to speak tongues and impress everyone around them. Vain is what that is. And it is not going to be the gold, silver, and precious stones. That's going to be part of the wood, hay, and the stubble. That'll definitely be burned up. Done for the wrong reasons. But when the opportunity and ability to be able to speak other languages, and then you take that and use it to spread the gospel, you are using the gift of tongues. All right, let's continue here in verse 11 as he explains. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. As He will. As who will. As the Spirit will. As the Holy Ghost chooses to give someone a gift, an ability to do something as He sees fit, when He sees fit. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. as it has pleased God, he puts these different things together to become part of the body of Christ. If everybody had just the same gift, then others would be lacking. It isn't that one gift is better than another. It isn't that speaking in tongues is better than wisdom or better than knowledge. Because if you don't have the knowledge or the wisdom, you can't use the speaking in tongues properly anyway. You got to have it all come together and work together as a unit, as a body, by the will of the Lord to please him. Verse 18 again, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have not no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, unto those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh. It's how he brings everything together. You might think that you are insignificant, but you are important. Just as important as any other part you might think is important. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's awesome. That is encouraging. We all come together, no matter what the gift is the Lord has blessed them with. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So we got to know, we all got to come together and work together. No matter what position you have, if you're an apostle, if you're a prophet, if you're a teacher, if you're part of the government system of the church, if you're one of those that does other works, come together, work together as a body to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not to yourself. And don't look down at others who you might think doesn't have as good a position as you do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. All these things in here that really encourage us to let us know that you are the one ultimately in control of this, and you are the one in charge, and you are the one that deserves all the honor and the glory. Help us to always do that. Get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on you. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.